If you hunt enough, you learn the truth. What you seek speaks a language and knows it well. That's why every Primo's call for everything you hunt is made the right way. We sweat every detail so you get more out of every hunt, and nothing leaves our hand until we know it'll work in yours. Because we don't just make the world's best calls, we speak the language. Primo's.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
If you are following along with my journey into Southern Africa last November, you would know that something extremely special happened to me in that I found my grandfather's 416 Rigby that had literally been gone for 30 years. I didn't know it was around. I actually thought it was gone. And lo and behold, up it pops because of social media and because of what we're doing at Blood Origins. And so this is a conversation between the guy that had the gun, the owner, and myself after we exchanged and did the business deal for me buying the 416 Rigby. I wanted to hear from him how he had gotten it, what he used the gun for. Just a great sort of testament to the history of the gun and sort of what hunting meant to my dad and my grandfather back in the day. And here's this gun that my grandfather used to hunt buffalo in Mozambique. And now I'm going to have the opportunity to do it the same way. So enjoy.
So there's a reason why I started Blood Origins. And that reason is simple. Is that I wanted to convey the truth about hunting.
It brings awareness to non-hunters that it's more than just killing animals.
How do I start it? Brittany.
My name is...
Does my hair look okay?
It's fantastic.
My name is Mike Axelrod.
Start again.
Yeah, I hated it too.
Braxton, you said something in the car to me. You said that you were living on borrowed time. Hmm.
There's a perception around who hunters are, what we're supposed to be, and a feminist that works for a non-profit that is a hunter that has only eaten wild game for the last 20 years is likely not the thing that people think about when it comes to a hunter.
There we go. Just as we start a podcast, typically dogs start barking. It's perfect. Absolutely perfect. Cheers, Rudy. Thank you. Thank you for the coffee.
It's a pleasure, Robbie.
Rudy, why are we here? Why am I talking to you?
Yeah, what an amazing event. What a sad day, but a very happy day in my life. Yeah, a good friend of ours, James Lismore, put us onto communication with one another.
So I got a DM from James Lismore. And I want to understand how that came about, because I got a DM. I was in Australia. We'd just finished doing a bunch of documentary work in New Zealand. And I get this DM from James Lismore saying, hey, I might have found your grandfather's 416 Rigby. And I was like, what? And so he starts going through it. He says it belonged to a Portuguese woman. And I was like, well, that's a part of the story that nobody really knows. And he's like, yeah, here's my, I think it belongs to a buddy of mine right now.
Yeah.
He sent me pictures of the gun. He sent me pictures of the book. He sent me pictures of Leo's book. He sent me pictures of Harry Manner's book.
Yeah, just to rewind a bit, I started my professional hunting career in 2017, and I was
Why did you decide to become a professional hunter in 2017?
I've been hunting in Afrikaans culture, hunting throughout my life, and I went through...
Were you born and raised here around Joburg, or...?
Born and raised Southern boy, South African Southern boy.
Okay.
And been in the industry for a very long time. As you'll see, the number plate on my cruisers, one is Dutchie for a specific reason, but that's a fun story we'll get into later. And I've got a flavor for life. I've got a zest for things. I became a pilot, became a commercial diving instructor, became a commercial boat operator. And then I said, I think I should become a professional hunter.
Interesting.
I had the love of it.
Okay.
And I was completely fascinated by it. And then you'll see around the house old things. I build old things, old Land Cruisers, old cars. And I said to myself, I want a firearm. I wanted a side-by-side. I met with a...
Side-by-side for people that don't know, double rifle, right?
I wanted a double. And I met up with Mark Sullivan in South Africa and bought two or three of his books that he also signed for me. And prior to that, I ran into this firearm completely... purely by chance. I was standing in a good friend of mine's gun shop one day, and we were...
So what was the gun shop's name?
Gun shop's name is Gobbs.
Okay. Here in Joburg.
Here in Joburg, and the owner is a guy by the name of Henk Annandale. And I have to do some contribution towards him, or some thankfulness towards him for what he's done. He's actually helped me load formulations, helped me, checked me, timed me. So he prepared me for using this specific firearm in my professional hunting practical examination. So yeah, thanks, Hank. And the guns were all lined up, and you know, as a young man.
So you walked in there with the specific idea, hey, I needed a... It's my mic, don't worry, it's not your mic.
Okay.
375 Holland or greater caliber weapon.
I hunted with a 375 Holland & Holland for 10 years prior to me becoming a professional hunter. And I shot everything. And I'm meaning everything I shot small and big animal range, and it was a very capable rifle. Until today, I love that caliber.
Sure.
But yeah, I couldn't get to the Holland & Holland price tag. And we were discussing this, and in walks a gentleman. Dressed in full South African uniform, being ex-Special Forces. I know the markings, and we started talking, and he said to me, this is the owner now of the gun that I'm explaining to you. I said, well, that's very interesting.
So you were in the shop?
I was in the shop.
Okay.
In the shop. In walks Gary Manners.
Yeah.
And Hank says to me, hey, Dutchie, this is Gary. I said, well, oh, nice, pleased to meet you. Takes the firearm off, or he hands the firearm over. That's what happened.
So was Gary there to sell the gun the same day you were there?
I think he wasn't there to sell it. I think he was just there to hand it in because he had an operation in Mozambique or, I don't know, Swaziland. I can't recall exactly.
Mm.
And he handed the rifle over, and you know, when you look at something, you go, yo, that's what I want.
Mm.
And I really cannot remember the price. I tried to phone him. But I can tell you that I didn't have the cash for it. I had to pay it off.
So when was this? I got the word from Gary Manners that he had sold the gun 8-9 years ago. So let's call it 2023. Is this 2014?
2015. To be spot on. 2015, okay. 2016.
Okay.
In he walks, handed over the gun to book it in, like we will do on Monday. And... I said, but that's nice. I like that. And then he says, now, here's something to read about this gun. And he takes out the document that I've showed you in November.
The Magnum magazine.
2004 Magnum magazine, page, I don't know, 43, 45. Mm. And here's the story about Leo Kroger.
It's an obituary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And here the gun is mentioned. And I said, Gary, is your father Harry Manners? Yeah, yeah. I said, well, sure, this is interesting. And then... my creative juices just started flowing. This is really what I wanted to be. So I thought, right, I need to acquire this firearm.
Mm-hmm.
So we spoke about it. Eventually, we cut the deal right there and then, met him. Off he went. License was approved in 2017. for the firearm. Once I've applied for it, paid for it, and then did my professional hunting course, then obviously certified legally in South Africa because I've been doing it under the radar for quite some time, like we all do. What an exciting life. What an exciting time of my life. It was a fantastic period. I traveled South Africa. I rubbed shoulders with high-ranking presidents of countries, which unfortunately I had to sign disclosures. I can't open that information to you on a podcast, but a fantastic, fantastic life I had. Firearm brought me a great income for my family. And I've always, wherever I go, wherever I hunt with this gun, I always take it out.
Sure.
This is my opening speech. Boys, you won't believe what I've got.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, never you. Then obviously I take the books out. I said, yeah, I even get goosebumps sitting here telling a story. And then I hunt with it. And the people say, how can you use this firearm?
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's what I bought it for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that big buffalo boy behind you and some of these amazing kudus that were shot with it. And some of the smaller antelope was also shot with it.
Sure.
And, about 20, just before COVID, the whole world's upside down. Nobody's coming to South Africa to hunt. And my life changed into another direction again. Having three or four companies at that stage, going through very difficult times. And I looked around me and I said to myself, when I go and hunt, I still tell the story. So this was last year, 2 years ago, I've hunted with James Lismore 3 years prior to that once.
Okay.
But I took my 308. Okay. Told them about the gun. They never knew about the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I took the gun with me on the second hunt with him. And then he said to me,
but it must have been this year. Why would he have voice noted me? Why would he have voice noted me this year? It was like April, May of 2023.
You're right. You're 100% correct. I hunted with him 2 years ago, and this year I hunted with him in Clarence.
Okay.
Just out Clarence, side Clarence.
And so you must have been sitting around a fire, you must have taken this gun.
How do we all hunt? Proper South African way.
Uh-huh.
Around a big Boma fire.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of whiskey. Yeah. And we were talking about guns in general, and I believe he's quite high up in an institution where they do long-range shooting, which is not my thing due to my problem with my eyes. And I said to him, this is what I own. And he says, don't lie to me. I said, I'll show you the photos. I don't need to lie to you. Show the photos. He then immediately must have sent the information through to you.
Well, that's the thing. Like Blood Origins, I was talking to you earlier, like 5 years ago, nobody knew me, didn't know our name, didn't know what we do, didn't know my history or anything like that. And so when you get on the, when I started podcasting and talking about my history, and I hadn't really hunted in South Africa at all, I started hunting in America, but I've got this grandfather who came, lived two wildlife, as he explains in his book, two wildlife paradises. He lived, 20s, 30s, 40s in Russia, Siberia, northern China, hunted white-eared pheasant in Nepal, and then hunted Africa, arrived in 54 and lived the heyday of Africa in the 50s, 60s, up until revolution.
And there was a reason why he must have called this his trusty 416, because numerous occasions he mentions the trusty 416. Either it was his backup, which he was...
So he had that. I think that was his main gun.
That was his main gun.
And then there was a double, and I've tried to figure it out whether he was wrong, and I've spoken to the Wesley Richards guys, but I think in the book he says 475 or 485. There must be a weird Wesley Richards caliber. It's not a 458 caliber. It's something else, and. But there was a side-by-side double that my father used when he was 16 to kill a buffalo in Mozambique.
Yeah.
But it was Bob Camilleri's. Bob Camilleri was Leo's best hunting buddy. It was Bob's gun. It was loaned to my father. So the story would have been even richer if that gun was used by my father to kill a buffalo in Mozambique.
Well, this specific gun was definitely used to kill a buffalo in my hands.
Well, so that gun definitely shot buffalo in Mozambique.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just rewind again to the purchase.
Mm.
Once I was intrigued by the history, I wanted more. Mm-hmm. Because that's how I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I started reading up, and I started hearing about books called My Last Kambaku and My Kambaku, and I started looking for them. And these things are not available.
Mm-mm.
And how did this happen? I got Harry's book in a bookshop in Four Ways. I had three or four people helping me to find the book.
Mm-hmm.
And Struzbop, somebody phoned me up and said, we found the soft cover.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm immediately on my way.
Yeah, yeah.
I immediately drove there. I was very disappointed because it wasn't the hardcover.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't think I've ever seen a hardcover.
But then I must tell you, I go a little bit further in my life. I just don't want the book. I wanted a signed copy.
Mm.
That made it 10 times harder. And then a friend of mine ordered the signed copy of your granddad's book for me. From where, I don't know. And that's how I got the signed copy.
Mm-hmm. The green one.
The green one.
Yeah.
The hardback.
There's only 1,000 of those ever made.
I think that's number 71.
And so...
Or 171.
Ever since I've been talking about it on a podcast, people are like, oh, we're going to look for that book. And you can't find it anymore. Yeah, you can't find the book anymore. It's quite amazing. And...
So once I've had the books, I've had the stories, and I said, right now, I must put this guy into action. Yeah, and it was an exciting, exciting time in my life. I practiced with this gun in excess of 150 rounds through it to make sure that I had pinpoint accuracy.
Mm.
On 50 meters, I would be able to take a tick off a buffalo's bum for you with a 416 Ripke 400 grain solid. And that's what I did. I made sure that I mastered the weapon. I showed you how I used to carry the rounds, how we paid huge money for leather pouches to hand bullets in and then cut the points off in front of the guys who made them for me. So, yeah, we were a rough bunch of guys. But I enjoyed every minute of it, and having the discussion with my wife after you contacted me the first time, we started doing evaluations about the firearm, and I said to my wife, being ethical, morally, the way I am, which I've always been, I said to her, this gun has to go back to the Kroger family.
Mm.
Yeah, the goosebumps come again.
No, it's amazing. Like, I couldn't believe it. I still don't think I can fathom the fact that gun, you know, my grandfather held that gun. Like, I've got his 270 Seiko. It's in the safe in South Africa, in America. But yeah, that is, that's a story and a half right there. Jeez. Well, can't believe it. And I thought it was gone. Literally, I thought it was gone. Like, I didn't even think about it anymore. It was just a story. It was like, yeah, that was one of his guns. And friends of mine were like, wouldn't it be cool if you could get that gun one day? Wouldn't it be cool?
So the PM, I could see the excitement and the disbelief in the PM to me. I cannot believe this. Do you truly own this firearm?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, I'll send you the barrel numbers, mm-hmm, and all the pressures.
Well, then I still didn't even know, right? Like, I knew I had to validate that Gary Manners, in Australia, I'm doing this. When I got the voice note,
yeah,
I was like, how do I know this is the gun? So I was like, all right, let me get a contact with family friends here in Joburg, the Chalices. And lo and behold, Chris Chalice had just contacted Gary Manners. They're in a gun club because Chris needs to get his gun licenses back current. And so I said to Chris, I called him. I said, Chris, when last did you talk to Gary? He's like, oh, I saw him yesterday. I said, can you just call him and ask him if he sold the gun? I need two questions validated. I need to know if Gary sold the gun, and I need to know if it has a Mahillion barrel. I just need those two pieces of information. And within like 4 hours, I got them both back saying yes and yes. I was like, holy shit. I can't believe it. And the only other thing that needed to like be corroborated was the serial number.
Yeah,
was the 1911. And I was like, how do I do that? And again, my pedantic father and a little bit of my pedantic self somehow have a fax that my father sent to Gary in 1993.
Which you forwarded it to me.
Like, I've still got the piece of paper. Who has that? Who still has a fax from 1993?
Yeah.
And on it, it has the serial number. Like, my dad wrote it out in a little parenthetical, Mahillion 1911. I was like, shit, that's the gun.
And then I took a photo with my firearm, South African firearm license.
That's it.
1911.
That's
Rudy
it.
Erasmus.
Yeah. Shit, man. Yeah, so the ultimate now is shooting a buffalo, me shooting a buffalo with it in Mozambique. Ideally, and it'll happen because I know the people that are working on it. So the areas that he hunted in Mozambique was Cutata 4 and Cutata 5 on the Save, mm-hmm. where the old Camp Ruak was, right? The Ruak camp and whatnot. That is where hopefully one day a buffalo herd is strong enough to hunt them again.
Maybe, just maybe, that could happen, that I could be there.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, that would be the ultimate finish of the chapter of that firearm in my life.
Yeah, it'll be amazing, eh?
But I'm happy. I'm truly, truly blessed that this could happen.
Mm.
And I had a little bit of a communication with Fritz Weilbach, quite an elderly, very good friend of mine. And from there, we moved over to... the guy from Classic Arms now, I can't get to his name now, and I said to him, would it be possible for you to do some alterations for it on the gun for me, to put it back into its original pristine condition because, you know, of the modifications mm-hmm. I made for my eyes? He said, yeah, you could do it. Donnie Hubert, no, the name will come now. And I spoke two or three times to him, and he said, yeah, no, I can do it. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to do it.
Mm.
Because when I purchase something, I use it.
Yeah, sure.
I use it, and I use it to the fullest ability. And
100%.
That's what we did.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't want to miss a buffalo.
Shit, man, I can't wait.
There must be some serious complications.
So yeah, for sure. For sure.
I didn't have the exciting buffalo hunters you see on Mark Sullivan's pictures,
How many buffalo did you kill with it? Just one?
Three. The last one, 400 grain, less than a half an inch exactly where I told my hunter to shoot. Did the finishing shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, wait for the death well and. That was it. So it wasn't charging. It was a perfect shot, a half an inch from where I told my customer to shoot.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable, man.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the buffalo prices got way out of sync. But I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's the career. It's the mm-hmm. it's what happens in life when you're in this type of
thing. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, dude, I'm completely in awe. Like, again, I thought that the gun was completely gone. Like, didn't even come across my brain.
Ah, Robbie, to see your face and to see this happiness on you, it's worth 100 times to me than what the value of this firearm is.
No, it's amazing. Yeah. Unbelievable.
It's such a pity my wife left and my daughter. I would have loved them to meet you and have you here.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they had to do something.
No, it's all good, man. It's all good. So, yeah, everything's good, man. Thank you, Rudy.
It's a pleasure. Oh, yes. You must understand, when you hunt buffalo and you walk through those poppy trees, you're on high, high alert. At that stage, I had some customers with me. That if something would have happened mm-hmm. to one of those customers due to the profile they were, you'd have read long stories about the South African hunter, and now he has to explain why these people are dead. So yeah, your palms start sweating, your vision amplifies, your hearing amplifies, everything, and you wait for that, because you know it's seen you. Is it circling you now? Is it coming from the back?
Mm.
Is the trackers alert enough? Is the client,
mm-hmm.
you know, comfortable? So, yeah, he then outwitted us, the last one, walked through the long poppy trees and then went down in the Tabazimbi in a cool, cool ravine to go and stand in the midsummer heat in that cool, cool ravine. We eventually tracked it. I got onto a cruiser. We went around, came out, and I saw him. I said, okay, that's it. We tracked him prior to that. I had a beautiful, beautiful head-on shot, no less than 50 meters away, and I said to my customer, I said, Spiraki, one momento. Por favor. Okay. No, Rudy. I want to shoot it from the side.
Oh.
My most important lesson in my entire life, ask your client where he wants to shoot the animal. The buffalo took a look at us. He says, oh, so that's your intentions. And he made me walk for another 4 hours.
Jeez.
Got him in this cool ravine, climbed off the cruisers, got him into a perfect spot. He was a very, very good shot. Said to him, take the shot. I want you to shoot it exactly there. And he did. I've got the photos.
Hmm.
And then prior to that, I said to him, do you want me to do the follow-up shot? Yes, please. I said, we're not playing here.
Yeah, right.
We're not shooting antelope here.
Yeah.
If you wound this guy, he's going to come for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the shot after him, negotiated, accepted by him. A half an inch from where I told him to shot it, I shot it.
Mm-hmm.
With the 416, 400 grain. And I tell you, any hunter's life to have a perfect death or a perfect kill shot is the thing that you strive for.
Mm-hmm.
I love animals. I would never like to see an animal be wounded and you can't get it and you can't catch it. And you know, so it was a perfect shot by the customer. It was a perfect follow-up shot. The buffalo went down on his knees and we waited for about 2 minutes. And then I said, lovely. Yeah, we had to pull that oak out of the ravine with a cruiser to get him up so we can load him. But the connection between the firearm, let me stop talking about the bush here. It's it is a piece of equipment that you use, that you entrust your life with.
Mm-hmm.
So if it malfunctions, you're dead. If you want to go and shoot leopard, and you want to go and shoot lion and elephant and do the dangerous big five, then you need to have something that's capable and trustworthy. And how can I enforce it more by reading in those two books about my trusty 416 rig?
Mm-hmm.
So I just knew this will never let me down. And it didn't. And mm-hmm. It has never. Yeah. And I wish the perfect shot on that buffalo for you.
I hope so, one day.
And I tell you, that day, if tears don't roll down your eyes,
shit,
then you're going to phone me or I'm going to be standing next to you.
Yeah.
Then you know it's the right thing.
Yeah. No, it's a crazy life that, and again, you were asking earlier, like, when was the gun built? My grandfather arrived in Mozambique in 1954. I think he only started hunting with Werner and Harry and Wally probably in 60. 58, 59, 60. And at that point, I don't think he had a gun. So then he was like, oh, I need to get a good gun. So he probably bought the firearm, I would say, early 60s.
Must be, because he states about it on page number 8, who he bought it from.
Yeah.
And how he acquired it.
Yeah.
And why he acquired it.
Yeah, the woman's husband killed somebody with it.
Yes.
For
a land claim or yeah. something.
And so she was like, I'm getting rid of the gun. And he was like, oh, I'll buy it for you.
Yeah.
So it's got an auspicious life to it. But, yeah, I don't know. It must have been built by either him, because it's a custom gun, I would think. It's a Rigby action with a Mahillion barrel with, what do we think the wood is? Do we know what the wood is? Is it just a classic American walnut? Like,
I would suppose so.
I think so.
I know that's Belgium. Very popular, Benny Lobscher. There the name comes back.
Okay.
When I acquired and I spoke to Benny about it, he said to me he knows of the Mahillion. He said it was a Belgium or...
A Belgian barrel?
Yeah. But as far as the stock, that stock must be custom built because you don't find a cheek...
Yeah, it's got a cheek weld.
And it, in those days, you never got mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. Those days in the 60s, it was a rough mm-hmm. square
mm-hmm.
cut.
Mm-hmm.
So that is definitely a custom setup. But mm-hmm. it's not been changed.
Yeah.
Nothing on that firearm has changed it's from amazing. The time that I have it.
Yeah.
Except for good oiling.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to shoot it for the first time. We're going to take it back to the States, and I'll send it to a gun maker to fill in the holes.
It's such a pity you can't get those pre-fired form shells, because it's been set up for...
Yeah.
And it will just be...
It's, you know, okay.
It's like a glove.
Yeah. We'll get it fitting like a glove again.
Yeah.
Well, Rudy, thank you, my man. I know that you're busy, we're busy, but this is amazing. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I'm happy for you.
It's really? Unbelievable, really? Man.
I'm happy, man.
Really. Shit's a brick.
That is something. I just wish that there's more people out there with a...
You don't often find tradition in history like this today.
But
still,
you don't find ethical people anymore.
Mm.
Because everything is about money nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this to go back to your family, I mean, will be amazing.
No.
And it will go back to your kids and your kids' kids. Yeah, sure, my daughter could have kept it, but no, this should have gone back to you.
Yeah, it's amazing. Thank you, Bert.
It's a pleasure.
Well, that's it for today. I appreciate you listening, as always. Leave a review, share it with your friends, and most importantly, do what's right to convey the truth around hunting.
In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western.
Oh, a mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.